truth. You got to protect Fields better. You got to protect that kid better.
Knowledge.
We've got to be able to tackle.
Unabashed honesty.
These kids, they're believing. They're buying in. Here we go.
That's the guy that has to make it happen.
What do you expect from legends?
Hampton OB. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Hampton OB show starts now.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Andy Mazur alongside the guys after the Bears lose to the New York Giants. Final score of 20-12 out there in the Meadowlands. And a very frustrating game to watch on many levels. And I know that there's a lot of fans out there just from reading social media before we get started here that are just flabbergasted. And I think you guys are too about some of the play calls today.
Well, again, and we talked about this in the pregame, OB, that this offense is in disarray. And one thing the Giants were superior at was the offensive coaching and the design of the offense. Early in the game, we had no answer for Daniel Jones and the bootleg, whether it was the pass or he ran for two touchdowns, which is inexcusable. But our offense, it's just disconnected, and there's no rhyme or reason. We kept saying, why are you giving it on a dive on second and four when that is a perfect play-action situation? It's maddening. And, you know, Luke Getsy, you said it in the room about 30 minutes ago. You said, you know what, so far so good in the sense that, hey, we're 2-1, and we're still in this ball game, but man, this offensive coaching staff has—they've let us down. This is not what is possible. This is not what is attainable. And again, it was another maddening day. And Justin Fields, you got to give him credit. I mean, he was battered. He 6 sacks, 14 hits in the pocket. Not a whole lot of receivers presenting themselves, and yet he finished the game. Hey, we put both of their quarterbacks out for a while. So, and it was a one step forward, two steps back, because he did manage to throw 10 completions out of 21 attempts for 163 yards. So that's a lot better than the 40 and the 60 and the 80 yards we've seen the last 3 weeks. But it's not near enough, especially when our defense was struggling so much early in the game.
What showed me today in the game in New York, okay, what showed me was I'm starting to really question this coaching staff. For an example, we're on a 5-yard line. It was 3rd down and 3 yards to go from the 5-yard line. And there's so many plays that they could use to get in. And what do? They hand off to Herbert, and he gains 1 yard. You could have gone from a shotgun with 5 wideouts, sent them 5 guys into the end zone. It's a quick read, boom, boom, boom. There's a ton of things. You could have bootlegged out. You could have there's so many things you could have done. But what did they do? Give it to Herbert, goes up the middle. You ain't going anywhere up the middle. They're sitting there waiting for you. Danny? When you look at these stats, and I'm like, I tell you what, I sometimes don't believe. I'm sitting there watching this, and I sometimes don't believe what I'm seeing. And what I'm talking about is the play calling by our offensive coordinator. This guy's got to get with the game. We go to Darryl Mooney one time downfield, and it clicked. It worked. Where is it the rest of the game? Defensively. Bootlegs. They saw something about our defense. New York did. And what did they do? Bootleg. Bootleg. Sprint out for 4 quarters. And we couldn't adjust. They found out and they saw where there was a flaw in our defense. So the Giants coaching staff, Dan, I'd give them an A. Our coaching
That's
staff.
That's what I said, yeah.
Our coaching superior. Staff, I'm going to tell you right. D at absolute best, Dan. And I'm not making this stuff up.
You know, it almost seemed as though the game plan that was designed by the offensive coordinator for the Giants is the one we've been looking for with Justin Fields.
It would have been so much superior to what we were trying to manifest.
They saw, believe me, Andy, yeah. When I tell you, you go on right now and ask somebody, whoever the defensive coordinator is, what did you see? or offensive coordinator, what did you see with the Bears' defense?
Yeah.
Because, my God, they ran it to death. And what do? You keep running it until they stop you.
Yeah.
And we couldn't stop it.
They ran it until the quarterback broke his ankle.
Exactly.
I mean, he was, and there must have been 16 plays when he was on the edge in either a boot or a naked boot or just a rollout. And again, those are the plays that would have been almost ideal for our skill set, and yet we don't do the thing that makes the most sense.
312-981-7200. We already have full phones, so let's get busy here and see what everybody else has to say about it out there.
What a
let's
mess.
Go out to Rockford and welcome in Mike. Mike, you're on Happy OB. How you doing?
I'm been better.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Watching this debacle, guys. Terrible.
More to come.
Where do you even start? We know the offense stinks, okay? But I'm gonna ask you guys all a question here. You guys are the professionals. Eberflus, whatever you want to call him, supposed to be this defensive genius that Ryan Poles hired. And you know something? I'm watching this defense play, guys, and week after week, 4 weeks in now, these guys look like they don't even know where they're at on the field. They don't know where their positions are. They're getting beat on the bootleg. Today it was crazy. But the missed tackles, guys, this is what I want to talk about. The missed tackles, it's terrible. They look horrible out there. There were so many missed tackles, and Roquan Smith missed a couple himself. Mr. Big Money Bags, how's that doing for you, Mr. Roquan Smith? I'm sick of this, guys. This team, what's going to happen? Are we going to be looking for a new offensive coordinator and a new quarterback? I mean, this team's going backwards, guys. I don't see any progression. And everyone is talking about in the preseason, oh, he's got these guys playing. Oh, they're 3-0. Oh, they're running all over. They're all over the field. And what did everybody say? As soon as they start to play the real games, the real teams, the real players, they're going to show what they really are. And I think we see what they really are. This is a scary thing, guys, because I don't know. This team needs so much. At the end of the season, and you know they're going to have the big salary cap. They got the biggest salary cap to use, I guess, or whatever, but or spending spree. But I don't know what this team can do. It's pathetic.
Well, the thing, Mike, that you have to do offensively when something's not working, I mean, you've got to go to Plan B and C. That's I could say that every week, but it just happens to be a fact. And defensively, if something's not working, there's other things that you can do. Now, we could not stop their bootlegs, their rollouts. They found a flaw in our defense. Why didn't our defense come out, even at halftime, and adjust? They ran it all four quarters. That's not coaching. And offensively, I'm going to tell you, sometimes you talk about scratching your head, and I look at Dan, and then it's like, what? What did they just call? Jesus.
You know, and to me, okay, let's think about this. And when you break it down on defense, when somebody hits you for a big play and it's a glaring, obvious, you know, strategic mismatch, you have to make adjustments. Not only didn't we not adjust after the first or the second or the third or the fifth bootleg, we didn't do it until maybe late in the third quarter where we started walking the safety Brisker up and he actually made a sack. But the point being is on offense, it's like we are like, it's almost like imagine a motor that is sounds like it's about to blow up and we just keep revving it and we keep trying to run an offense where we think our offensive line is capable of protecting. And other than maybe two plays in the first three quarters, we didn't have protection. I'm just telling you, Mustafa is getting wore out. And you know what? Lucas Patrick, our, you know, so-called prized possession of a free agent that was going to be the center, well, they started him at right guard. And then when Cody Whitehair went out in the left on the left guard, he filled in there. And he was a turnstile. It was an embarrassment how bad he was getting beat. And then you're not even talking about Braxton Jones, the rookie, which you can't expect him on a play-by-play-by-play situation to stand up against, you know, bona fide five-year NFL starters. It's crazy. And how do you get away from pressure, OB? You get out of the pocket, boo. You do some rollouts. And we don't do it. It's just It's sickening.
That this coaching so far, this fourth game, this coaching staff really did not. I tell you what, these kids, they went out there and you could see they were playing their heart out. They really were. There's no question about it. But I tell you what, when you see something coming, you play after play, quarter after quarter, and there's no adjustments. There's no adjustments. No in intensity brought by this coaching staff. They just went along with it. Second quarter, come out. Third quarter, same thing. Fourth quarter, nothing. We couldn't mount a drive. We couldn't convert on third down. And it's one thing after another. And so far, I'm telling you what, it's not the players, folks. It is not the players. Don't think that for one second. I'm going to tell you what, it's the coaches.
Well, the missed tackles are the players.
They're not putting them in the right position to be successful on both sides of the ball, Dan.
Eberflus can't make the tackles. When we're in a position to make a tackle, you don't duck your head and dive. And Saquon Barkley's
a good player. Well, let me tell you something, Dan.
But we're missing tackle after tackle.
He can set up a system to stop him. And if he can't set up a system, he's the head coach. He's one of the geniuses on defense. Then what the hell is he doing in this league? It's him. It's the coaches.
All right, we're going to ring the bell here. Take a time out and come back with more of your phone calls. 312-981-7200. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Folks, he's back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich is back for all your auto, home, business needs. Contact Vuk at JeffVuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side. More of Happen will be's postgame show coming up in just a moment on WGN.
That drives Velus Jones back inside the 35.
Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. An inauspicious NFL debut for Velus Jones Jr. there. Not able to handle that punt, and the Bears certainly could have used the ball at that point and ended up turning things over and ended up losing in this one 20-12 to the Giants.
Did you really think that we would put together a drive? I mean, we want them to, but I mean, I'm not going to hang everything on that kid.
No, not at all.
It was a hell of a punt. It was what it was. And we'll get right back to you, callers, but, you know, at some point, you know, you got to when you don't have the personnel of a Buffalo or, you know, maybe even the Cowboys, you got to be smart. You got to be schematically better, and you got to make a living on the margins. And we're playing like we've got some other kind of talent. We don't have an offensive line that can hold up. Our quarterback was beat to death, and yet, you know, we keep thinking, oh, we don't have to do what the Giants or somebody else did. Hey, you do what you have to do to win the game. And it's like we're trying to impress somebody by the play calling rather than do what we got to do to be effective and win the game.
What happened, Dan, today that really set me back a little bit, and I probably should have, maybe I haven't explained it well enough, is the inability of this coaching staff on both sides of the ball, folks, to come up. If it ain't working, you've got to go to another plan. You've got to, you know, you just don't have one game plan to go through four quarters. No adjustments, folks. And why do I say that? All you had to do was look at this game and watch Jones bootleg out, bootleg out, bootleg out, run pass, bootleg, boot. Unbelievable. And we had no answer. That's not good. That's the fourth game into a season. And our head coach is supposed to be a genius as a defensive coordinator. Well, I'm going to tell you what, so far, again, what I've seen after four, I'm not putting that much on the kids. I'm putting it right on this coaching staff. As far as I'm concerned, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
All right, fans feeling the frustration, we'll offer a little therapy for you here. If you want to give us a call, 312-981-7200, like John out in Gilbert's did. John, you're on with Happen OB. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. What's up, Happen OB?
Hey, John.
Hey, so, you know, my thing is, if I had last seen a Bears game 3 years ago, and then I resumed watching the Bears today, I feel like I wouldn't have missed anything, because the problem still seems to be there, which is our offense. And I'm just trying to figure out what it is. We have new coaches, new players, you know, the fans were all hyped up for the new year, and there's just time in this game. We're in the game. We're in this game, every game. If every field goal is a touchdown, we win the game. If two of the, you know, we didn't even need all touchdowns. We just needed some touchdowns out of those drives. And I'm just wondering, we have no threat, right? I'm trying to figure out what the problem is and how can it be consistent through the years. Is it we just don't have a superstar wide receiver or a superstar lineman or a superstar running back? I'm just trying to figure out what it is. I feel like it's deja vu. We need offense. And one more quick thing. I was actually nervous at the end because I'm like, all right, even if they score and we tie the game, I didn't have confidence in the play calling to believe we would call a play that would actually get us in the end zone. And that's all I'm saying.
John, thanks for the call, man.
All right, this offense, a lot of this offense, and I was excited about it when you know, Luke Getsy was named the offensive coordinator. And I said, oh, that's good because, you know what? The Packers, they base everything on rhythm and timing of the running game and then play action and all that. It's almost like Luke Getsy hasn't put two and two together. Aaron Rodgers got the quickest release in football, and he's the smartest quarterback in football. He knows where the ball needs to go at the snap of the ball and get it. Well, guess what? Justin Fields ain't Aaron Rodgers. And so you're going to have to adjust. And yet he won't change what the concept of the offense is until Justin Fields can hopefully someday get up to speed. But you know what, OB? There were four times in this game where Aaron Rodgers would have let go of the ball and got rid of it. Justin Fields isn't there yet. And it ain't working.
Well, let's go this way, Danny. There's basically, as far as I can see in the game, four people that are difference makers, or should be the difference maker. Number one, your head coach. Number two, your offensive coordinator. Number three, your defensive coordinator. And probably the most important, when it comes down to, would be your quarterback. Those are the four things that have to be top flight. They have to be quality in whatever position that they hold. They've got to bring the team forward. Offensively, you've got to convert on third down. You've got to use the entire field. You got to stretch the field. And you got to figure out a way to do it with the players you have. Defensively, 180 the other way. How to stop them. How to get to an Aaron Rodgers. Okay? And the guy that has to make the difference, folks, he has to. Any way you want to cut it, anything. Believe what I'm telling you. You better have a quarterback. He's the guy that has to make it happen. He's the guy. He's the guy that's got to convert on third down. Why? You keep the drive alive. You eat up the clock. You keep the other team's offense off the field. And you score points. That's what it's all about. Those four people. That's how you win championships.
We were 5 of 15 on third down today. 33% ain't good enough. Let's rate him real quick.
That's every game, okay. Every year, Dan.
Okay, offensive coordinator today, I give him a D-. We were able to actually get a little something going, and we were in the game, so I wouldn't give him an F. Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator, I give him a D. He never figured out how to stop the bootleg until the quarterback broke his ankle. Quarterback, I'll give him a C, mainly because he was tough and he finished the game and he never quit. And so what does Eberflus get? He gets a D too.
Well, you just backed up what I said.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did, Dan. You just backed up what I said. Those are the four things that got to happen. You get those four things going right, folks. You're going to be heading for a championship. I'll guarantee it.
All right, if you're on hold, please stay there. We'll get to you right after the news. Hamp and OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Bears lose today 20-12 to the New York Giants. Much more of our post-game show
there,
coming
callers.
Up in just a moment here.
Chevy dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
Richie James will have a shot from the 30. Ball comes out, and the Bears say that they have it, then it's squirted free. Let's see who gets it.
It'll be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That our player of the game, the defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. Andy Mazur back here with the guys as we take your phone calls, 312-981-7200. We're also going to tell you about who brought it today, sponsored by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. And I think we agreed in the break there that the honey or the money badger Mike Badgley, the kicker off the scrap heap.
Yeah. They bring him in, and he goes 4 for 4, keeping us in the game. Unbelievable.
All right, 312-981-7200. That is our telephone number. Back out to you, the fans, and we'll welcome in Mark from Longview. Mark, you're on with Happen OB.
Hey, guys. I just two things about the coaching today. We got out-coached offensively, defensively.
No question about it.
Justin Fields, we saw it last year, him staring at the sky. Why aren't they showing him pictures of the defense? Why aren't they talking about his footwork, staring down the receivers? I can see it as a fan. And there's no coaching talking to this guy about any of that. And the defense, we had no answer. Our pants were around our ankles the whole day.
Mark, let me tell you right now, those were good words. Let me tell you who said it this past week. Dick Butkus came into town for several appearances and et cetera. So Dick called me up and we're talking. And first thing, the first thing out of his mouth was, he says, "What is it?" He said, "Our quarterbacks come off, they sit at the bench, and they stare up into the sky." Dick's asking me, why aren't those coaches next to him with the tablet or with stats and sitting down and going over that? And that was last year, and that was again this year. If I said it once, I couldn't tell you how many times, Mike, I've said exactly what you said. And here, Dick Butkus, he called me this past week, and that was the first thing out of his mouth. He said, why doesn't anybody sit down with this kid and go over the previous set of downs or try to adjust whatever? He said, nobody sits with him. What is that, Ed? I said, I don't have an answer for you.
And you've said this for 3-5 years. You go,
yes, I have.
Look at it, Dan. Look. But you know what? Did you see on the sideline, third quarter, Brian Daboll, the head coach, he's not the offensive coordinator, but you know he's the mind behind the mind, because he was
from the
guy,
Giants.
He was the guy I was saying a year ago, that's who I wanted as our head coach. But he's a smart guy. And he was over there with Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones, and he was going through some kind of a sequence saying, you get it, you understand, you understand. Nobody does it with our quarterback. Zero. Never.
Mark, that was a good call that you picked up on that. And just what I said, not to double talk here or whatever.
Even that's Butkus what, can
that
see that.
That was Dick Butkus. That was his first question. Believe me when I'm telling you, this past week when he called me, that was the first thing out of his mouth. Why doesn't anybody sit with this kid and go over the previous set of downs and what's going on? I said, Dick, I don't have an answer. I've been saying that for years.
I don't
get it.
Trevor Siemian was over there kind of trying to make small talk at one point. What's that going to do?
Yeah, well, it was game, set, match by that time.
Yeah.
All right, let's go out to Jim now in Aurora. Jim, you're on with Happen OB. How you doing?
Very good. Dan, Ed, you guys just both nailed it, that the offensive creativity, we're going backwards. And that last play sums it up. You 6 backwards passes going backwards when I thought they were lining up for the Hail Mary 3 times. They never even got it downfield once.
Was that a metaphor for this offense?
I told the producer earlier that that last play is going to be the symbol of the team's offense for the rest of the year. They're going backwards.
Well, I'm going to tell you who's got to come into question here. There's got to be some reporter in this town that certainly understands this game. And when they have a press conference and Getsy gets up there, there's just basic questions that are just absolutely blowing up in his face that somebody's got to ask him. And, you know, we don't need a smart remark from him. We need an honest answer. And we need an honest answer from Eberflus. Are you kidding me? I mean,
they lined up 3 times on that last drive, and they never got the ball downfield once.
Not once, and they could have gone max protect with 2 receivers out. Do the math, folks. You could have 8 people, you know, blocking, 2 guys going downfield, and 1 throwing it, and you buy time. You know what? And, Jim, you know what? Right before the half, we had red zone on in the team room that we were watching. And I was watching it, 2 different teams with like 17 seconds left in the game, you know, going back and giving it to heave-ho. Twice somebody made an interference call, and they ran down the field and had a chance, you know, to throw it into the end zone. We didn't do it last week. We didn't do it this week.
How many times have I said that? How many times, even just before 6, the half,
6,000.
Throw the ball down the field. What could happen? He could maybe catch the damn thing. Okay, it could be interference, a half or a game can't end on a penalty. And we don't even try it.
But we don't want to waste our downs for that. We got to wait until we can have the 6 backward pass play. That was the one that ended.
Well, I'll tell you what, the other 59 minutes prior to that, why defensively there were no adjustments, Danny, that to me, that sinful is correct. I'm going to tell you what, how can you not bootleg after bootleg? They kept running it. And you know why they kept running it? Because they couldn't stop it. And if they can't stop it, keep running it. We did nothing.
And this bum, Daniel Jones, runs 2 touchdowns in, 1 for 12 yards, 1 for 7. Nobody touches him.
Untouched. Kaz is joining us now as well. So, Kaz, welcome in. Bears lose 20-12, and you're probably as frustrated as we are.
Well, I'm looking at it differently from the standpoint of the fact that we don't have a lot of talent, guys, and especially on the offensive side. We're trying to develop a quarterback that I don't know if he's an NFL quarterback or not. He shows flashes, but we got to be realistic about it. How much can he do? And how good is he? And right now they're trying to develop him. What is this, a second system now in a short period of time? So, look, they play good defense. We can, you know, applaud them there, except for, you know, guys go untouched, right, like we're talking about. We got to be realistic. This is a rebuild, and that's what we're staring at. The fact that we started 2-1, it's all great, but let's keep our we just got to recognize that it's going to take time.
You're right. You got to keep perspective. 2-2 isn't the end of the world. But all that being said, Justin Fields has now started 14 games. He's been sacked 52 times and hit about 3,000. So whatever they think they're doing with him or how they're trying to, you know, attack off defenses with him, he's getting attacked. We've got to do, you know, Lou Holtz used to say, it's hard to remember when you're up to your chest in water that the first thing was to drain the swamp, right? Well,
right.
Drain the swamp. We've got to get better in protection. And if these guys, I mean, you're going to get your so-called franchise quarterback put in the hospital if we don't get better in a hurry.
Yes, and Ed, you know, listen, both you and Dan have won Super Bowls. Ed, it was a world championship. Same thing. You win up front, right? I mean, let's be honest. And we're not very good up front on the offensive line. They've thrown it together. But the truth of the matter is, can you figure out why he's throwing at these weird angles right now, Justin Fields? Because he doesn't have to, but he's trying to throw at different angles. Anybody notice that today?
Well, and you know what it is? It's he wants to get on TikTok and look like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I'm just telling you. Don't you think that's what it is?
I know what it is, but you get my point, right?
Yeah,
how do you get them from not doing that? Because when you stop doing that and you become who you are, you could be good. Maybe.
Now, there was one time with the blitzer in his face, he adjusted, and Moose Johnson made a point that he did a good job of getting the ball out to Cole Kmet. But you don't have to do it unless you have to. You know,
the end of the game, he threw that little weird, check down to Kmet that got minus 1 yard or whatever it was. And there was no reason for him to sidearm it. And I'm just going, who's sitting this kid down and saying, look, you know what, we're going to figure out what you do well, which we're still, you know, I mean, look, he has a lot of skills, but How can the Giants run the ball, and then have their quarterback run it in 2 times? And we have a kid that could really run the ball, and we don't figure out how to get him into the end zone.
Deep ball for Mooney. Oh, what a shot! Perfectly thrown and hauled in. 51-yard strike.
Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That connection right there, Fields to Mooney. And our hardest-working player of the game, sponsored by the Fair Plumber. Finally, quality plumbing made affordable. Visit fairplumber.com. And Justin Fields took all kinds of hits today and ended up coming out of it okay for the Bears. And he did a nice job. We're going to give him that award.
Well, which comes to this point. Okay, there's a million things we could say about this game, whichever way you want to go with it or roll with it. Okay, the thing that I saw – throughout four quarters was by this coaching staff the failure to make adjustments offensively and defensively. That should be, somebody should be right then and there, right next to Eberflus, whoever, or Getsy, or whoever on defensively. They should be there to make adjustments on the move. Make adjustments on the move. And the other thing that I'd love to see, which I mentioned last week, when you're a struggling team, especially offensively, folks, there's things that you can do. You can go with an unbalanced line, stronger, weak. Excuse me. How about a hurry-up offense with no huddle? How about that for a little bit of difference? Try to catch the defense off guard and fire the ball down to Mooney downfield. No huddle. Hurry-up offense. Offset the line, stronger, weak. There's things that you can do, and when you're struggling, and we don't do. And it's the fourth game, and I don't want to hear, well, we got to do this, and, you know, there's a young coaching staff. There's 17 games. You better have it right before you even play the first game. There's not 162 to figure it out. My God, let's not be making excuses for these guys. Sometimes things are what they are.
You know, OB makes a great point, Cause, in the sense that Justin Fields still looks like he has not grasped the idea of pre-snap reads and has, like, any real good feeling about where the ball needs to go. Remember a week ago I told you that Tom Brady said at the snap of the ball, I know where I'm throwing the ball. Well, rather than let the defense have that, you know, that advantage,
you
why
dictate.
Wouldn't we go hurry up, like you said?
Yeah, hurry
and
up.
And then we press the issue and make us the aggressor, not the one that has to read. What do you think?
100%, and that is something that they can do, and they should do, and you see it throughout every level of football. When teams do that, they wear down the other team, because now you can't make replacements. You can't get your nickel back or dime back in. You can't adjust defensively because the 11 stay on the field. You go. And that takes a little preparation, and that takes some understanding of how you want to attack with the talent you have. We don't have great talent. Let's, you know, look, anybody that says differently, well, we're lying to ourselves. But what we do have are guys that are playing hard, and so let's try to put them in the best positions to win the game and figure out how to minimize reads for our young rookie. You know, again, he's 14 games. He still hasn't finished a full season. But let's minimize his thought process and just understand play to play, and that the defense isn't going to be able to change much because you're not taking anybody in and out of the game, and it really puts the defense on tilt, right? You know, two of the best defensive players to ever play for the Bears. Would you not agree if a team just keeps going and going and going? You don't have a chance to adjust. You just got to rush and keep going.
Absolutely. Well, makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. Glenn, but what I'm telling you, the failure, okay, to make adjustments, that's what really struck me today. Come on, there were things that could have been done. And then go with the hurry-up offense. Folks, with no huddle, all of a sudden you don't know the mistakes. The defense, they call audibles too on pass coverage, or if it's a blitz, or call it on or off. Sometimes communication gets screwed up. Why don't we go to it? Why don't we go again? And I hope, I know I'm double talking here, but damn it, you want to win a football game. We're struggling here. Give these kids something to do. Give them something to play with. Give Fields a chance to go with a no huddle. Let's see what he can do. All right. We played four games, and our offense stinks.
All right, let's back.
It does stink, but I will say this, guys. Ed, you're right. And really what it comes down to is creating four or five, six plays in a row that you
exactly.
just run. And then you know, the next series, you have those four or five. If you get into a little rhythm, then you jump right into it again.
All right, we got about a minute left before we have to take time out before news. I want to sneak in at least one more call here. Let's go out to Mike in Chicago. Mike, you're on with Hamp and OB.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I want to ask, doesn't it seem like the worst pass protection since that game against the Giant 10, 12 years ago? Jay Cutler got sacked 9 times in the first half, and they used Chris Williams as a turnstile?
pretty much, you know, it wasn't as bad as Cleveland was a year ago. But when your quarterback takes six sacks, your chances of winning are about 6%. And it is what it is. And until the protection gets improved, and what I'm talking about individually, then you're going to have to start keeping some people in. And you know what? Five ain't enough. Six ain't enough. Seven. Then you got to protect your QB.
Hey, Mike, thanks for holding on. We appreciate it for your efforts there. We're going to get you a $50 gift card to Mel's Craft Barbecue in Park Ridge.
It's awesome.
It's simply the best barbecue you'll ever eat. We can vouch for that, especially with the turkey today.
The turkey was off the charts.
Oh, unbelievably good.
It was almost as big a turkey as our game plan.
Yeah, that game plan wasn't good. And you're right, Dan. I mean, there's ways to combat teams that are bringing it hard at you. What about little screens? What about quick passes? I mean, there's so much you can do. And
no huddle, Glenn.
Yeah, I know. No
huddle. When they're firing on you, now, get right up to that line and take that thing away from them. We can't even figure that out.
All right, guys, we've got to take a break here for just before news, and we'll take more phone calls as well at 312-981-7200.
Guys, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you so much for your genius intellect.
You got it. I got zero genius, but I can tell you that I know what smells bad, and there's a way to fix what smells bad. They just got to do it. But we don't have a lot of talent. So you guys have a great rest of the show.
Thanks, Cos.
All right, Cos. See you later. Guys.
All right, Happen OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
They're bringing pressure again. It's a screen. It's Herbert. Khalil Herbert. He's going to get a first down on 3rd and 20. The screen goes for 23.
And our play of the game, sponsored by Good Foods. Game Day as Guac Day. Bears fans enter to win amazing prizes at GameDayAsGuacDay.com. Good Foods is available at Jewel Osco. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Guys, we're here. The Bears lost 20-12 today. We got a bunch of people waiting to get on the line here. So let's, without further ado, let's get some folks that have been waiting for quite some time. Steve in Elk Grove, you are on with Happen OB.
Thank you. I want to make a few comments and agree that I agree with Dan and OB that they don't make adjustments. Furthermore, the coaches have no sense of urgency. They don't have any intensity. They should all fire each other. And why is it on 3rd and long before the half, they throw a short pass? That doesn't make sense. I got so upset that at halftime I went out to mow the lawn, and Fields is no better than Trubisky, in my opinion. And finally, I think your radio show oftentimes more interesting than the game itself.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
And you know what? We're waiting and praying for the day. Well, that may not be the case. But, you know, here's the thing. We were just talking before we came back on air, and OB goes, hey, Hamp, don't you agree? This is on the coaches. And not so much the initial game plan, but the fact they had no answers, no adjustments.
Bingo, Danny. That's it.
There you go.
What the hell are you there to coach for?
And that's what they had. Hey, everybody's got to look in the mirror after every game. Whether you made 18 tackles and defense, no, you look in the mirror and say, did I do everything I could? Same thing with the coaches. They got to look in the mirror.
Good call, Stevie.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. John's calling us here from Chicago. John, you're on with Happen OB.
Hi, how are you guys? Yeah, just some comments after listening and stuff. And I know the talent is not there yet for the Bears the way they want it. They got a long ways to go. If you look at their offensive, you know, positions, there's not many guys that could even be near all pro. Same with defense. There's a few good ones there, but they work, I thought, pretty well together. The things that I didn't care for in the game, and it was mentioned, is adjustments to their offense, and they're running a balanced line. They got guard, tackle, and two tight ends to one side. You got to adjust to that because that's the side where they're bootlegging to. He could have ran. He could have done anything. If they had a receiver coming across, he would have hit him too. And they did not make quick adjustments to that, and that hurt them because they ran it that way. They must have saw something in their defense that they never adjusted. And they finally, the way it is. I agree with the why don't they try a no huddle? It's not going to hurt because it's not helping going through the procedures they're doing. I think that would be good. They didn't know how to do certain things offensively and defensively. And I know we could blame coaches. You know, I was coach for 38 years, and they're easy to blame and pick on. But, you know, at that level, you've got to do the right things. I mean, it's just I wish something would happen. But they don't have the talent to be going. They're not going to any playoffs. They got to build. And I still think Fields is the guy. He's been in college, and I think he could be two different administrations. I think he could be. They need more talent at receiver. There's no doubt about that. You know, they're not using Komet much at all this year. That's another thing. You know, tight ends are very valuable. You look at the best, you know, I'm watching a Packer game now. They use everything. But you know what? Aaron Rodgers could do anything. He's Fields is not Aaron Rodgers. So that's just my comments, and I don't know. What are your thoughts, guys?
All right, Johnny, I'll tell you what. No, I like your thoughts. You know, your thoughts were from you went the whole spectacle, basically offensively, you know, how you could do a little bit better, and I appreciate it. Johnny, it was a good call. Kind of agree with you, buddy.
Well, and it kind of goes back to the point I made about 40 minutes ago, which is Luke Getsy, who, when you're hired as an NFL offensive coordinator, you're a genius. There's only 32 jobs in the world, okay, of 8 billion people. You're one of 32. Why can't you figure this out? And last time I checked, we don't have Aaron Rodgers. Quit trying to make Justin Fields make reads and run the offense like Aaron Rodgers. He's not capable yet. Do what he can do best until those days come.
All right, back to the phone lines we go, and Dave has been waiting patiently as well in South Florida. Dave, you're on with Happen OB.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I want to echo the thoughts of the previous caller. You guys are the most entertaining part of my Sunday. If the Bears were to lose the rest of the games of the year, I'm still tuning in because you guys have the point on analysis and correct analysis. And I just want to get into time management. I don't know if you guys noticed, but right before half, it was about a minute or so left in the game, and the Giants had the ball. And
Eberflus called timeout.
Yes. I got up out of my seat. I shouted at the TV. I'm like, what is this clown doing? This guy's calling timeouts for the Giants.
On third and short, which is almost, 85%, likely they're going to make it.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is not high school. This is not college. This is the NFL. And that stands for not for long if you keep doing these type of blunders on coaching, on time management, on game time adjustments. Why did we go away from the screen? When they were blitzing and getting pressure in Fields' face, a couple of those screens broke up from 15, 20-yard gains, we should have kept on screening them to death like they were doing the quarterback keeper and the quarterback around the end. We should have kept doing the same thing that they were doing to us.
Dave, you're exactly right. In fact, when we came back on air the second hour, the play of the game was a 23-yard screen to Khalil Herbert. And yet, we don't go to it again. But back to commit. You guys, we were talking about tight ends. I want this kid to be a great player. I know he's from Arlington Heights or whatever. Hey, great. But you know what? He slips. He doesn't catch the ball. I saw a linebacker, ragdoll him on a run block. He's got to get better. I don't know what if he's thinking he's established and he's it and all that. No. Hey, this kid, he better look in the mirror.
Well, I can tell you. Well, that okay, Danny. I understand what you're saying, but also get him in the game plan. Get him in the game plan. He's not in the game plan. We don't go to our tight ends. Utilize the kid. He's 6'5". He weighs about 260. He can run. There's a lot of things this guy could do. Get him in the game. Get him in the rhythm. And before we go any further, I want to say a quick shout out to Bob and Helene. They're people that I see about 2-3 times. I see them in this restaurant I go to, and they're wonderful, and they listen to us all the time. So I just want to give them a big shout out.
And
thank you.
And a shout out to all you folks, Bear fans in South Florida. Our hearts are with you. We're praying for you. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave, for the call. We appreciate it. We'll get back to more of your calls in just a moment here. 312-981-7200.
Hang in there.
Have it. It'll be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hey, he's back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich is back. For all your auto, home, business needs, contact Vuk at JeffVuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side. Back with more in a moment on WGN.
Who said the passing yards were?
Well, the numbers aren't good. It's not that good.
I mean, numbers don't matter, I don't think, in my opinion. But, you know, as long as we win, like I said, that's all I care about.
Well, those right there, the words of quarterback Justin Fields when he was pressed by the press after the game, saying, what's wrong with the passing offense? And he said, I don't understand the question, basically. And the reporter said, the numbers are telling us that. He goes, the numbers don't mean anything. My eyes mean something. And I think that I think a lot of Bears fans are thinking to themselves, okay, there's something wrong with the passing game right now.
You mean Fields?
Fields just said
numbers
that. Yeah.
Don't mean anything.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be contentious like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
No. I mean, I get it. After the game, I mean, it's heat of the moment stuff, but at the same time, it's hard to argue against those numbers.
Now, he was 10 of 21 for 163 yards. He was sacked 6 times for 19 yards in losses. That nets you $1.44. Today, on all the website betting spots, the over-under on his passing yards was 147.5 net yards.
148.
148.5,
yeah. Oh, okay. Which was the all-time low in the history of quarterback yardage betting. And he was under. He didn't get to it. So for him to act like that is an inappropriate question to be asked why the offensive passing game isn't very good tells me, you know, either he's really disconnected or – you know, he's got a little chip on his shoulder, and he needs to kind of get away from both of those.
You know, the reason why I think Dan and I are go the way we go, Andy, and, mm-hmm. and to our listeners, is that, okay, I've said this, you've got to understand this game. You don't have time, okay? This isn't a time game, okay? You go to your off season. You know, you have all your different mini camps, your drafts, your this, your that. But you only play 17 games that count. 17. You can't, well, the first quarter of the season we didn't, but I think the second quarter of the season, you know, we're going to do a little bit better. No! You got to be ready to go from the opening play, whether it's offense or defense. You've got to be sound. Your people have to understand. They have to have the knowledge, and you have to work hard in practice to get this thing down. Again, why? You don't have 90-some games. I don't know how many times I could say it and say, well, we'll get to it later, or we'll get this. Well, we made a mistake. We'll work on fixing it. We'll do this. No, the hell you do. You should have had it fixed before. And again, for us to run in, this is the fourth game, and for us, this offense, to run into a wall again in the passing game, from quarter to quarter to quarter in the fourth game, and we have no adjustments. We don't know how to go to a hurry-up offense. We don't know how to go to an offset line. Come on.
BBB Trusted Review, sponsored by the Better Business Bureau. Find a business you can trust at BBB.org. I think maybe that Justin Fields, after some time to think about it, might want to review those comments that he made there. Have it all be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. We've had a lot of people waiting patiently here.
And having a chip on your shoulder is not a bad thing. That's a good thing in the sense that you want to, you know,
do something to earn to have a chip on your shoulder.
There you go. You know, and I'm just saying, the New York Jets were recognized as the worst franchise in football going into this season. And everybody was mocking their coach, Robert Saleh. And he said, I'm making a list. I'm keeping track. And everybody laughs at, oh, yeah, right. He's won the last two games. He had a chip on his shoulder.
312-981-7200. That's our phone number. Fans jamming the lines here. Let's get out to Dallas, Texas, and welcome in John. John, you're on with Happen OB.
Hey, enjoying you guys. Just got three quick points. First of all, if you look at the third down, they was on the, in the red zone four times on third and 14, on the 14-yard line, third and three. They don't even throw to the end zone.
No,
absolutely.
They didn't need the time in the red zone. Did they give Fields a chance to throw for a touchdown? How are you going to score? Listen, I don't mean any harm. We got to lighten up on our quarterback. He's a good quarterback. They're killing him. They're not even protecting him. And some of the throws out of his 21 attempts, they weren't even for 4 yards. What happened to the slant patterns on the blitz? Why we not using the tight end to go across the middle to catch while they trying to blitz? We do no slant patterns. We don't throw to our running backs over the middle. We don't do anything on the blitz. I'll hang up here what you guys got to say.
Thanks, John. Hey, John, you brought up questions and you answered your own questions. Yeah. We're saying the same damn thing.
John, some good points. Number one, whatever happened to the quick slant? That was the Aaron Rodgers bread and butter. That's what he kills us with. We don't throw the quick slant. Why? Oh, maybe it's because our offensive linemen are being thrown back in the quarterback's face and he can't get the ball over him. Maybe that's it. But here's the thing. At the beginning of the third quarter, there was a graphic in the red zone this year. In the red zone, that's inside the 20-yard line, going in for hopefully a touchdown. Our run-pass ratio was 18 runs, one pass. That's crazy.
It wasn't the pass the first time this year they were in the red zone. I think they've run 18 or 19 now straight times.
Well, I'll tell you what, you should be locked up.
I mean,
are you kidding me? That stat is unbelievable. It's like, what was it again, Dan?
18 runs and one pass
in the red zone.
Red zone thus far through 3.5 games. Now, I don't know what it was today. I think it's probably 22 runs and maybe one or two passes. Maybe we threw it in the end zone. I can't remember. I don't think so.
All right, Dave and Montgomery have been waiting a long time as well.
But wait a minute. You know, whatever Hang happened on, to the fade in the end zone? You know what? Tom Brady, let me tell you a story real quick, folks. About 3 years ago, the Bears went up to New England to scrimmage. And I was talking to a guy that was there at the practice. And he said the Bears in New England, they scrimmaged. And then when everybody broke at the end of practice, all the Bears went inside. And yet, Tom Brady and Gronk went to the other end of the field. And they threw 20 passes on the right side on the fade and 20 passes on the left side on the fade after practice, after they've been in countless Super Bowls. I'm just saying, hey, wake up.
All right, Dave, we got about a minute for you here from Montgomery. Dave, if you've been waiting patiently, we appreciate it. You're on with Happen OB.
Yeah, just real quick, guys. I listen to you every week. I never, ever miss your show for the last 5 years. I mean, it's fantastic. But what I do, I just wanted to tell you what I do. You had a caller about 4 or 5 callers ago. Your show is very great, but when you guys get off at noon, you know what I do? I go out and start my lawnmower, and I cut the grass. I get done about 3:15, and when you guys are coming back on, I put you back on. And since I don't watch the Bears anymore, my blood pressure has gone down. I'm feeling better. I'm happy. And everything. And what I do, if I want to watch football at 3:30, I put the Packers on without the sound, listen to you guys, and I'll tell you, I've never been healthier. Just wanted to let you know you're doing a great job, and thanks for getting me feeling better. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, thanks, Dave, but Dan and I are probably going to...
And now buy you a mower, and now you can start mowing around the yards of the neighborhood. Make some extra cash.
We can get ourselves some vacuums here. We can vacuum the hallways while the game is on. Maybe that will work, right? All right, we're going to take a break for news here, and then we'll get back to more of our phone calls. 312-981-7200 is the number. The Bears lose to the New York Giants 20-12, the final score out in the Meadowlands here today. More of the Happen OB postgame and show coming up in just a moment. Happen OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
And this bum, Daniel Jones, runs 2 touchdowns in, 1 for 12 yards, 1 for 7. Nobody touches it.
Time now for our Mueller's Auto Group game-changing moment, and that was a show-changing moment right there. And very accurate on the behalf of Dan Hampton about Daniel Jones running for a couple of touchdowns in the Giants' 20-12 win over the Chicago Bears today. So the Bears fall to 2-2 And coming up next on the schedule will be the Vikings in Minnesota. Next week, the Vikings got a win today after New Orleans double-doinked one at the buzzer from 61 yards out. So that's what's coming up. All right, what's coming up here is more of your phone calls at 312-981-7200. A lot of folks have been very patient today. We certainly appreciate it. Amit from Orland Park, you are up on the Happy Newbie Show.
Yeah, hey guys. I want to know how come the Bears never won again the red zone? This is for all these years. How come they never throw the ball to the tight end, like throw a jump ball pass or do any of that type of stuff? They're always trying to dink and dunk and run the ball when they shouldn't. Like, it seems like all the even bad teams like Detroit can do that, and the Bears still haven't figured that out, no matter who the coach or quarterback is.
Well, again, it's a combination of the fact that they don't have confidence in doing that, evidently. You know, and I just spoke of how Tom Brady and Gronkowski would work after practice to make, you know, the timings possible for them to be exquisite at that very play. Evidently, we're not doing it enough. We're not practicing it enough. And if you don't do it enough or you do it well enough, you're not going to have confidence in that aspect. So, you know, it's maddening, but it is a huge part of the offense that we are leaving untouched.
Capital B, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. I just realized something, too. Eddie Jackson had a pick today, and they lost for the first time ever. Was it 12-1 now?
Something like that.
Yeah, because Eddie Jackson had a nice pick, and they hadn't lost.
Yeah, and you know what? That was Eddie Jackson's best play in 3 years. I mean, it was a beautiful interception, just fantastic. And I said, here, we're on our way. Here we go. Well, not so fast.
Yeah, 20-12 again, the final. Giants over the Bears. 312-981-7200. Scott in Arlington Heights, you are up next on the Happen OB Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Dan, before I get to my comments, I just wanted to share a story with you. In the early 80s and probably through the 90s, my dad used to take us up to Platteville to see you guys at training camp. And those were the days where we had a lot of access to the players, yourself included. And there was one day where you kind of sauntered out of the dorm a little bit late for practice, and you came up to my dad, who was driving a very unique Bears van. You probably don't remember, but we gave you a ride to the practice field, and that really made my dad's day and actually made his whole life. He told that story his entire life. So just wanted to, like I said, you probably don't remember, but
yeah, I do.
He actually put a plaque on the passenger side door commemorating the moment. So I just wanted to share that. My comment is of regarding Justin Fields, and the people I watch the games with are so frustrated with me, because every time he throws the ball, I shout out. He never hits his receivers in stride, and they always either have to stop or come back to the ball. I know certain routes are designed like that. But it seems like today there was a go route where the receiver had to come back for the ball. And, you know, it looked like he had a fishnet, rubberneck over the defender's head. Now, is that because of his inability to get the ball, his arm strength, or just that he's not reading the receiver, his ability to read the receiver through the defense? And I'm confused, and it's frustrating, because it seems like every other quarterback can do that except Justin. And I want him to hit that so we can break those big runs, because we haven't done that yet this year.
And that is a component of the offense that I think Luke Getsy is not even, you know, reaching for. So much of the time, the 49ers and Miami, they run so much motion before the snap that the quarterback has a great tell of whether it's going to be zone or man. And it looks to me like even after the ball is snapped, Justin Fields is still struggling with identifying what the coverage really is. And if it's in zone, obviously the receiver tries to find a hole and sit down. In man, they have to run away from the coverage. And yet, Justin hasn't been able to identify the difference. Now, does that mean they're not working on it enough in practice? Does that mean that Justin Fields is not capable? I don't know what it is. But to play in this league, to improve, to be better, they've got to figure that out. And they got to get better at it this week if they think they're going to have a chance at getting this passing game off the ground, OB.
It never should have came to this, Dan. Never should have came to this. during that entire offseason. They had an entire offseason. They had to put a whole new coaching staff together. And I tell you what, it should be going a little bit smoother than what's happening. And again, I'll say it again, I'm not going to put this on the players. Players are going to make mistakes, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're the head coach and you're making what? $8, $10, $15, $20, $30, $40 million. You got offensive and defensive coordinators making $5, $7 million, $2 million, $3 million. You're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for coaches. For God's sakes, and we can't even convert on third down, let alone put a drive together, let alone score a touchdown. There's something wrong in River City.
312-981-7200. A lot of folks still waiting to get on the line. Let's get through some of these as we can here. Joe and LaGrange, you are up next with Happen OB.
How you doing?
Joe.
I'm just getting really frustrated. I'll be 62. I've watched the Bears a long time. It just seems like we get the same plan since 85. Nothing's gotten better. 85 was the best. And there's no improvement. That last play reminds me of the entire season. As long as they've been playing since then, they have no clue. The team is going nowhere. And, you know, I think we should stop talking about a new stadium and this and that without putting together a team. It's just ridiculous.
Well,
they're a joke.
You know, the way I like to compare teams is to say, okay, who's the best team in football? You want to say Kansas City or Tampa Bay or Buffalo, whoever. How many of our guys could start for the Buffalo Bills right now today? How many?
Not many.
I'd be hard pressed to find one, maybe two. I'm just saying, how many could start on our 85 team? I don't know of anybody on this team that could start on our team. I'm just saying, yeah, we've got to find better talent. That's why Ryan Pace was given the door. But ultimately, think about this. When we knocked out Tyrod Taylor and Kyler Gordon made the hit of the game and knocked the ball out and knocked him out of the game, and Daniel Jones was on one leg, they go to a wildcat. It was the SEC, and yet the first play they ran for 12 yards. We had no answer. It's almost like we are not prepared. I don't know. And that's why OB is saying this is on the coaches.
There's no question about it. I can't say this enough, folks. Sometimes I get a little overcritical, too critical, whatever. I really don't give a darn. But anyway, you have 17 games. I can't say it enough. Everything that they're talking about from week to week after a loss or whatever this is, that should have been done in April. That should have been done in June. That should have been done in July. That should have been done in August and September. Not now. Everything's gone out. And we're not here to come in second or be another losing season and another also-rans by incompetence. And boy, I'll tell you what, it was rampant today, Danny. And again, I'm going to staple this one right on Eberflus's forehead. This was a coaching failure today. Make no mistake about it.
Like my friend Wick says, we're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. And how do you have a good time? You win. You do things right, and you win.
All right, we're going to take a time out here, get back to more of the phones.
No, we're not ready yet.
312-981-7. See, I know how to time manage. That's one thing I know how to do. Maybe better than Coach Eberflus, but whatever. Happen OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hey, football fans, L-Band.
You want to win a football game? We're struggling here. Give these kids something to do. Give them something to play with. Give Fields a chance to go with a no-huddle. Let's see what he can do.
Right. Yeah,
we played four games, and our offense stinks.
All right, guys, before we get back to the phones, Chicago Tribune says that Mel's Craft Barbecue has the best brisket in the state.
They do.
Mel's is perfect for watching your favorite team and enjoying brisket, pulled pork, turkey, or baby backs. Mel's has everything from the barbecue fanatic, plus a full bar featuring over 60 bourbons. If you can't make it to Mel's, call Mel's Barbecue and ask about their catering options. The only thing better than football is football with Mel's Craft Barbecue, like we experience every Sunday. Mel's Craft Barbecue on Main Street in Park Ridge across from the Metro Stop, or visit MelsBBQ.com. All right, Bears lose 20-12 to the New York Giants. A lot of folks have a lot of opinions on things, not just us here in this room, but fans out there as well. Let's go out to Matt on the South Side. Matt, you're on with Hap and OB.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. Hey, so a quick question and then a couple comments, if you don't mind. Does talent in the NFL matter?
Does talent matter?
Does talent matter?
Absolutely.
If it ain't one, it's two.
That's what we're. That's it. We could talk till the cows come home as to what's wrong with this team. But it comes down to one thing: we are deplete of talent, and that's and sadly because of the mismanagement of this organization. That's actually by design, because this is the I don't know how many regimes we've gone through that have had to hit the reset button and get rid of whatever little bit of talent that they were able to accumulate over their failed 5 years. And we've hit the reset button. We're going to drive ourselves mad if we nitpick game to game. The fact is there's no offensive line there. And then the one guy that we have that's half decent went out in the middle of the game. I'm not making excuses. I'm just pointing out the facts. Their backups, if we can't find starters that would play for, I think you mentioned Buffalo, you mentioned Tampa, you mentioned Kansas City. If our starters wouldn't start for those teams, our backups wouldn't even make the cut for any other team's 53. We just don't have the horses. I'm tired of it. I'm frustrated, but I won't get myself all riled up week in and week out. We're letting the McCaskies hit the reset button again. We let Ted Phillips hit the reset button again. They went out. They went and got another first-time head coach. They went and got another first-time general manager. We've got a young quarterback. I don't know if he's good. If I had to bet right now, I'd say probably not just because of who drafted him. But all we have, the only thing that we have is to give them time. There was no way, zero chance, no matter how much practice or how much effort, that they were going to have a winning season this year, because they don't have the horses. No matter how wound up we get, it isn't going to change that fact.
Okay, well, listen, first off, yeah, it'd be easy to say, oh, well, we're just going to go through the motions and, see what happens. No. The Cincinnati Bengals played in the Super Bowl last year. The Cincinnati Bengals were left for dead when last season started. They had won four games the prior season. And yeah, they got a special quarterback and a couple of special receivers. That's about it. And yet, they believed, they came together with superior coaching schematics.
Bingo.
And motivation. They went through everybody in the playoffs. Nobody gave them a chance. They did it. It's possible. That is why we're going to hold this team, this coaching staff, this organization to a higher standard and not call the season off.
Yeah, Matt, we just finished the fourth game. And we half the time we look like helter skelter out there. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we want to accomplish, whether it's third down and one, or third down and 12, third down and 8. Every play they seem to call is the wrong play, and it's happening quarter after quarter and game after game. And again, I'm not putting it on the players. I'm putting this on his coaching staff. Boy, the adjustments that they could have made today to actually win this football game and never went to them, I mentioned them earlier, not sense about going over it again. There's a lot of things that they could have done. Obviously, it wasn't in their playbook.
I'll squeeze in as many calls as we can here before we get to the top of the hour, and we'll welcome in Chris from Florida. Chris, you're on with Hap and OB.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Okay. Good, Chris.
I'm 76 as of yesterday. I've been following you since the 60s. I'm even a Vietnam veteran listening to you guys overseas.
Beautiful.
But anyhow, my comment is Justin Fields still thinks he's at Ohio State. He hands it off. He throws the ball three or four times every quarter, and that's it. And he can't do anything else.
Well, Chris,
that's my comment.
Chris, well, let me just jump in there a little bit on that, okay? He doesn't call the plays. He can't audible. They won't allow it. The plays are sent in to him, and he calls what's sent in to him, Chris.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, the only two players I know of probably in this league that would get away with changing audibles are Brady and Rodgers. But I'll tell you what, he cannot deviate, Chris. I'll guarantee that.
And it's kind of a paradox. He's got to take that by the horns and say, yes, I am capable, I'm ready. But he's got to do some things to prove that he's ready for that. I'll guarantee you that Joe Burrow's in Cincinnati last year was audibling an awful lot. In his second year, the same as Justin Fields is this year.
All right, Michael, you are up next from Chicago with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure talking to you. I've been listening for a long time.
Thank you.
Hey, OB, you made a comment about you blame this on the coaching, and I 100% I agree on the defense. The loss of containment and not being able to adjust was maddening. But last week, a friend of mine showed me the All-22s, and it was the first time I saw it with Fields at quarterback. And as much as I think the scheme, as much as I thought the scheme may have been an issue, when you see that tape and you see how many people, how many of the wide receivers and the tight ends and backs are running open, and he's not trusting his eyes, I don't know if it's the scheme or if it's him. And you can adjust all day and rush and put him in a hurry up, but if he's not able to make the reads, I don't know what you do. And, you know, what's going to happen, unfortunately, you know, they're probably going to be a 5 or 6 win team this year, because I think they are a try-hard team, and I think they're going to be able to accomplish some wins. But at the end of the day, we're going to be stuck with our third quarterback in 8 years. And think about all the draft capital that we've spent and the time that we've spent and not being able to develop. And I don't know what you do. I really don't. And we can blame the coaches, and there's plenty of blame to go around.
Mike, all the stuff that you just
take a look at that 22.
Mike, all the stuff that you just said. Okay, you know when that should have been found out? Not in the fourth game of the season. Should have been found out in June. Should have been found out in June. That's when it should have been found out, and corrected in July, and get ready to go in August and September. That's what I'm talking about. And obviously, we are not.
All right, guys, we're nearing the end of our time here together. We'll try to sneak in one more as we can get in here. We'll go to Miami and welcome in Mike. Mike, you're on Hampton OB.
Hey, how you doing, Hampton? So you talked to Scott Grossman-Heitz earlier, and he talked about a story from training camp back in the day. And I just want to bring half of your time to close up the show. And he said that you got a ride to practice from a fan. I'd like to hear more about that story. I heard you chuckle a little bit. I'd like to. It sounded like you remembered it in fond memories. Let's end the show on a good note. But do you have any memories of that?
Yeah, you know, our dorm up in Platteville was about half a mile away from the little college facility, little un-air-conditioned locker room and everything.
Was it near a saloon?
There were some of those on further down. And I got a ride to that too. But you know what? The fans, I mean, it was all complete open access. You could walk right up and almost wait for us outside the dorm. It was a different time. Now you can't even get close. But it was an amazing time. And the fans were so wonderful. We would have 20,000 people watching a practice because, you know, we were the hot guys. And it was just great to have all that vibe, the good feel vibe that all the fans brought us. Thank you.
All right, guys, we've got about 20 seconds left. Again, next weekend, it's the Minnesota Vikings on the road. And we'll be with you at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
We own the Vikings up there. Come on.
Yeah, bring on the Vikings,
even
right?
Even with Trubisky, we would own them.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thanks so much. Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.